I don't know, those claps are for me to come on platform or for the table to be set here. Yes, no, that's great. That's great. Good worship. Praise God, you know. And thanks for being here on this Memorial Weekend day. You know, during this weekend, you probably had many options to go around or go camping and things. Nothing wrong in that. We should do that. But thanks for being in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to be here, and you know, God's presence is in midst of us this morning. We want to kind of and last week, just want to say I took a break, and thank you, Renee, for preaching a great message. We just want to give you thanks. I think Renee just Renee is right there. Yeah, thank you for doing that. It was amazing. But today we are going to focus on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. If you will open your Bibles or Bibles in the phone or whatever device you have, or if you have physical Bible, just open to that. And we're going to learn a few things from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. It is a fascinating passage, and we can, God has a message for us today as a people of God. You know, one of my hobbies is to kind of, many times, I love bookstores. You know, since the time everything has digitized, the idea of bookstores and having the physical books, you know, in our hands and reading them, you know, for lots of times, for our convenience, we kind of read books, you know, on our phone, on our devices, electronic devices. But one of the things I love is going into the bookshops, you know. I love the smell of those brand new books. I don't know how many of you like that, you know. There is something about the bookstore, and it's just like a calm and you know, it just kind of, at least for me, lifts your spirit up, and I love to kind of go through the books. What are the, you know, the ideas that have been presented, the new writers and things like that. And sometimes you come across the books which are, you know, I don't know why you would present this idea in the world. And, you know, lots of thoughts kind of going on in your mind. And you just kind of flip the pages and look. But one of my favorite books to kind of look for is Guinness Book of World Record. You know, they are thick books, and it's just kind of, you know, I'm always curious to kind of, you know, look at that book and flip the pages and really look at those pictures and the kind of achievements people have done. And some records have been broken, and their pictures are there, and their you know, achievements are listed along with the pictures, and it really fascinates you. You know, the world's longest nails somebody has, or I'm pretty sure the world's longest hair, or variety of things. You know, the person who has traveled the world in the shortest period of time, the youngest person to travel the whole world. I don't know who they are, but, you know, some fascinating things. And, you know, some of you may know, and I remember this, I watched this live on television, Emmett Smith. Do you know Emmett Smith? What did he do? He ran. You know, rushing yards, right? Highest rushing yard. Do you know how many? Anybody? Huh? No. 18,322, I believe. Yeah, 18,355 yards, rushing yards. And I thought, man, this record somebody would break. And so last night I went and checked, and he is still sitting right at the top. And I said, that is fascinating. Many years ago, I watched him live as he broke the record, and then he kept going forward. It was just amazing. Now, these kinds of people don't happen, or not, you know, these things don't happen every day. They're rare, they're very special. And as we look at, you know, the Guinness Book of World Record, these are the group of people, very special group of people. And, you know, it just kind of, you know, their achievements are amazing and they are there. And so as I was thinking about that, I was reading this passage. I thought about myself. And I said, can I find myself in a Guinness Book of World Record? Maybe not. You know, many of us may not find ourselves in that special category of people. But then I got thinking about, you know, who I am. And as a human being, you always think negative things. And you always think, man, I have not done much. And our mind kind of goes there. And when we think about the positive achievements of the world and people who have done, your mind always goes, man, I am really a failure. What did I do? I messed up so many things. And we start as a natural tendency of us is, I'm broken in many ways here. I think many not so positive things. You know, I have messed up many things in life. And that list starts to pile up really long, and it is there. We don't have to be reminded. And as compared to our achievements, though, that list kind of starts to pile up more and more. And then I started, and nothing new for me as well. And I started to think about that. And I said, Who am I? It's a very loaded question. Who am I? And answer to that question is this. I'm a very special person, and that there is a reason for I being a very special person, very valuable person, because I have a relationship with God who created this universe. And not only I have a relationship with God himself who created this universe, but I have a personal relationship with God. And he has, because of that, God has offered me grace by dying on that cross, and he has resurrected, and he has defeated all the negativity, all the sins in this world, all the evil, and that God himself has called me to have a relationship with him, personal relationship. Now, I want you to underline in your mind personal relationship. And if you think about that, I am a very special person in the eyes of God because I have a one-on-one special relationship with him. He has forgiven my sins. And because of that, I am called a child of God in his family. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That puts me in the category of a very, very special people. Just let it settle that thing down in your mind, in your heart. And if you have that relationship, many of you have that relationship, that has put you in a very special category of people, of a belonging to the family of God and his children. And it is a very personal relationship. And so you have responded to God's grace. God has offered, and you have responded to God's grace. And because of that, you are a people of God. You are a child of God. You are his son and a daughter. That is an extremely, extremely powerful, extremely special category of people. Now, if you look at this world, God calls every one of them to become his children. But not everybody has become his children because they have not received his grace in their life. God is calling them, but they have not received his grace in their life. And so how much ever we want to think that they should be the people of God, children of God, they are not. So here is the reality. In this world, sometimes this kind of thinking and this kind of thought process is not welcome in a general sense, because we like to kind of put everybody on an equal footing. But the reality and the hard reality is this. There are two categories of people. One is belonging to God because God has offered us grace and forgiveness, and he can only offer us that. And those who have received it has found to be children of God. And then there are those, because of their own choice, has been offered to them and have not received and have not accepted the grace of God. And so how much ever there are some nice people out there, there are some first-class people, very well-mannered people, very, just amazing human beings have not received the grace of God. They have chosen not to receive the grace of God. So they are not there. And that is the fact. That is the reality. The Word of God really speaks about that. And so I want to today focus on the people of God. The people who have received the grace, that is you and me and many others in this world, people who are watching probably, and if you have not received his grace and not accepted, there is always opportunity. The door is wide open for us. So we want to focus on the people of God today. And what we want to focus on through this scripture passage today is this, that as we become the part of the family, we have the responsibilities as a people of God. So if you are a person, people belonging to God, his children, we have certain responsibilities as a family members. And, Word of God really makes it clear what are those responsibilities that we have. So we cannot be a part of the family and not carry out the responsibilities. And so God makes it very clear, the Word of God, and let's look at those responsibilities really quickly. We are going to read the verse 9 from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And the first responsibility, there are a few responsibilities listed there. And let's read that. That first responsibility of us is to declare the praises of God. That is to declare, and we are going to look at it, what it means to declare the praises to him. Let's read the verse 9, and it says, "You may declare the praises to him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." He has called us from darkness to his wonderful light, and our responsibility is to declare the praises to him. As a people of God, this is our responsibility, to give praises to him. And the reason is very simple why we should be giving praises to him is because what God has done for us. What God has done for us, that we may declare praises to him. This is the most important thing God has done. In part 2 of verse 9, it says, this is what God has done for us. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called us out of darkness. Once we were in darkness, once we were, in a sinful lifestyle, doing things which were not pleasing to God. And God called us out of that darkness into his light. And when we live the life into his light as a family of God, it is important for us to give praises to him. And, and I want you to kind of focus on this term called, refers to our salvation experience. when we were saved, and I want you to think about when you accepted Jesus into your life and established that relationship with him, that is the point in time God called you into his light, into the relationship, and that is what it is. And he just filled our life with his presence. And this is a very joyful and happy moment. And God, and because of this, we cannot still sit still, but we have to offer praises to him. And give him praises to him, declare the praises to him. And that is our responsibility. Friends, we have heard this concept of giving praises to God many times. But what does it really mean to give praises to God? And let's understand that. So the Word of God says, as a people of God, we need to give praises to him. What does that mean? How do we do that? You know, and what does it mean to declare praises to him? To declare, to declare also means to proclaim praises to him. To declare, to proclaim praises to him. This simply means, to proclaim the excellency, his, excellencies and virtues and qualities of God himself. That's what it means. Now, when you proclaim praises to him, is that we proclaim, you say it out loud, or you proclaim the virtues of God, what God means to you. And you proclaim that out in the world. So praising God is all about God himself. Many times we limit praising God, or proclaiming his virtues only to raising hands. And there is nothing wrong in that. We should raise hands and give thanks to God and praise him. But proclaiming his praises to him is not just limited to raising hands. And in our American Christian culture, many times we have just limited praising God to raising hands. And we have limited the depth of the meaning of proclaiming his virtues from the depths of our heart, and we have forgotten about that, and we have only focused on a physical aspect of something called praises and giving thanks to him. And it is many times focused on ourselves. And so the conversation in our cultural Christianity is, I want to feel fulfilled in worshiping God. And I want to feel good about worshiping God. And so the conversation shifts to focusing on ourselves as we worship God. I hope you are with me here. Please follow me. And that conversation is really very selfish conversation. The Word of God says, as a people of God, you should worship and proclaim his praises. And the focus is on proclaiming his virtues into this world. And so how do you proclaim his virtues? God is good. He's a healer. He makes the path for us. He does amazing things. He's a good God. He died for us. And so many things God does, it is really proclaiming his virtues and what God is all about. And that is our duty. And And that is what the Word of God calls us to do. So here is an idea for all of us, that we may be very expressive in praising God and proclaiming His virtue. Nothing wrong in that. And we should do that. But there are lots of people who proclaiming His virtues from the depths of our hearts in silence. And you can be in a deep worship relationship with God in total silence and in quietness and experience a rich, extremely rich worship to God as we proclaim praises to Him. And really, you know, say out loud or in silence, you know, proclaim His virtues and say thanks to God. So it is about thanking God, acknowledging what He has done, and acknowledging and His virtues in our life. And as we worship, that is a worship relationship. That is what the Word of God is really asking us to do. And so it is really the matter of our heart. Proclaiming the worship is matter of our heart, and it is not one is the better than the other, or whatever the worship ways that we do is nothing is superior and nothing is inferior worship, but it is matter of our hearts, how we really truthfully worship God and really focus on Him and not on ourselves. That is our responsibility, and that is the Word of God that really teaches us. What is the second responsibility I want to really talk about is, so as we proclaim and worship God and proclaim His name as a people of God, it talks in verse 11, very important responsibility. Let's read verse 11. And this is what it says. It says, dear friends, and it is addressed to people who have already been called into the light of Jesus. They have already been saved and are part of the people of God and His family. And it has been addressed to them, and it says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. You know, let's read that. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Now, it is interesting to note this. In previous verse, in verse 10, it says, you are a people of God, and you are called out of darkness into light and have been received mercy. So you are already part of the people of God. And as you're in the family, you know, God addresses the family of God. He says, you have been forgiven. You have been brought from darkness to the light. Now I want you to pay attention, my people, my children, my family member who are people of God, that abstain from sinful desires. Abstain from sinful desires. And that is our second responsibility, you know, listed in this passage here. You know, our thinking is this. You know, and it's very interesting. Many times we kind of think about that after my sins have been forgiven, after I become a part of the family of God, it is all done. Of course it is done. We have been forgiven. We are free. And the heaven, you know, we have a right to become His children because He has given us that right. But He says that the temptations are there. The sinful desires in a human being are still, there is a war still going on. There are temptations all around us. And a human desire is not just kind of cut off right there. We still are human beings. And those desires are still there. And those sinful desires are still there. You know, let's understand what that means, the sinful desires. And it says that we have to abstain from those sinful desires. That is our responsibility. And I want to kind of focus a little bit on that sinful desires as it translates. And as you study that word, sinful desires, it is in other translation, it says that fleshly desires of a human being. So we are being flesh in this world. And those desires are always going to be here, whether we act upon those desires. Those temptation is other thing. And the word of God is very clear that abstain from those desires. You know, in original Greek term, it says the strong human desires or desires governed by mere human carnal nature. And so that aspect of that is still part of us. And it is there, that is being human being. We are all humans. And so those still exist. And it says, either in other words, our intense human desires which come out of our carnal, corrupt human nature, which still exist. And God says to us, abstain from those desires. Now the question is, in this situation, the question comes to our mind, how in the world we are supposed to abstain from these sinful desires and fleshly or selfish desire? Those are human desires. How do we do that? And I'm talking about the sinful desires. The answer to this question is this. As carnal humans, we cannot have a control over our own nature. We cannot do that in our own strength. As a human being, it is impossible for us to really on our own have the control of those desires, those sinful human desires. You can try and you can try and you can go certain, you know, to some distance in our own strength and have a control over that and be successful for a while, but it is just not possible. We do not have that ability to do that because we are human beings. So here is what it is. It is important to identify our limitations and come to the place where we realize that, God, I cannot do this in my own strength. And so we come before him and we realize this is after the salvation experience. As a people of God, we are part of the family. And as you know, God expects us to abstain from this desire, we come before him and we surrender ourselves completely to God and say, God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I need your help. I absolutely need your help. And I surrender all. I surrender my will into your hand. And it's a process. And you keep surrendering your will to him. And you earnestly, from the depth of your heart, ask God for take control of our life. It is called total surrender to God. You surrender our will. Oh God, not my will, but your will be done. And you come to that point in time, it is called a total surrender to God. We call that an experience, a sanctifying experience, when we surrender everything. And then the Holy Spirit helps us, you know, takes control of our life, and our desires are surrendered to God's desire. And they are no longer our desires in a sense, but the potential of a carnal nature, our temptations are always there, but we are able to surrender our desires to God And that is the reason we pray the prayer, Lord's Prayer. What is the prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this is the important part. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God taught us to pray that prayer. Oh God, your will be done as in heaven, on earth, in my life. Not my will, but your will be done. It is a very powerful thing. So that struggle is no longer there. You know, if we are in the place of temptation, we surrender that. We learn to surrender that with the help of the Holy Spirit in our life, which helps us, because God has sent us the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that is the most important work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Many times we have, in our cultural Christianity, we have limited the Holy Spirit of just actively jumping around and doing the things and just saying that, oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. And we have made the Holy Spirit so limited that Holy Spirit is only active for it during the church service for 1.5 years, and then he's gone. That is not the Word of God teaches us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, for a day-to-day life, to walk with us, to lead us, to guide us, to fight the temptations as we surrender our life to the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of the Holy Spirit work in the depths of our life. And when we surrender, when we invite that, that is what happens in our life. And that is the only way we can abstain from the sinful desires in our life. God's desire for us is not to live a sinful life after we become part of his family. And that is our responsibility. It is possible to surrender our life to him and receive the guidance of the Spirit in our life. The third responsibility, to live good life among the pagans. Now I explained to you, there are people of God and people who have rejected his grace, or some of them do not know his grace, and they're still in the process of finding his grace. So, and that is the pagan world. Everything goes in the pagan world. Everything is fine. As long as you say please and thank you, the basic things, you can live the life however you want to live. You know, there is nothing, everything is, it's up for the grabs, you know. You know, sinful nature, carnal nature, you just do anything and everything is acceptable. That is not God's desire for a human being. And as a people of God, as a part of our family, as you're surrounded with the pagan world, it says that you should live a good life among the pagans. And let's read that in verse 12. Live such a good life among the pagan that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And so he's saying, this is how we must live. You know, as we live amongst the pagan world, and many of you probably have experienced that. It is not easy to live a life which is as a part of the family of God into the world, because, you know, you will be accused. The fingers are pointed at you because you belong to God. You know, people are going to falsely accuse you of certain things that are not true. And in the midst of that hostile environment, as we live that, God is saying that, live a life that is a good life. You know, bless those people who accuse you of wrongdoings. Bless those people who frown upon us because you belong to the family of God. Instead of fighting them, you know, you bless them. You pray for them. You wish good things for them. And that is the life God expects us to live. It is not about the war between family of God and the pagan world, but you love them in a sense that you wish and you pray that they will find the grace of God and a freedom in their life. And that is the highest level of love that you can express on somebody, that they will find the freedom in their life and grace of God in their life. The expression of love is not that you promote the sinful lifestyle of somebody else in the pagan world. That is not an expression of love. In fact, you want people whom you love to get away from the destruction. If you have a child in your home, and let's imagine the fire represents the sin, and they're running towards the fire, are you going to say, hey, we cheer you. That is who you are. Your identity is found in embracing that fire where you're going to burn. Is that the expression of love for your child? Or to stop that child from getting into the fire and getting hurt? So the sin represents that fire. And when we see people in love and with respect, you pray for them to turn away from that fire. That is the highest expression of love. And when Jesus says he loved the world, that doesn't mean, and he says to us that we must love the world, that does not mean we should embrace the fire, we should embrace the sin, but we should pray and bless people to get away from it. And that is the expression. We do that because we love people. And God does that because he loves people. It is not about growing your church and how many people we can pack into the church. That is the, you know, that can happen, but that is not the goal. The goal is to connect people to Jesus so that they can find freedom and love them in, you know, with true heart. And that is what he's saying, that, you know, even if they accuse you, love them. Do good deeds for them so that they may find the glory of God and they may see Jesus in your life. How do we do that? The question is, how do we do that? As a human, if somebody accuses you, your first reaction is get back at them. Fight back at them. Accuse them vigorously, even more accusation on them so that we win the fight. That is how the human nature is. But God is saying, surrender your life to me and follow my commandment. And, you know, it is not about accusing them more or fighting with them, but loving them and doing the good deeds for them. And they will see the Christ in your life that way. So it is really, we can only do that when we surrender our life completely in God's hand. So three responsibilities really. You know, the first one is proclaiming the praises of God in our life as a child of God. Abstaining from sinful desires as we are part of the people of God and his family. And also to live a good life among the pagans in this world as a people of God. And those are the responsibilities. There are many, but you know, as we focused on this passage today, these were the three things I just wanted to kind of, you know, focus on and think about. So as we close today, there are two things. Whether we are part of people of God, his family, and if we are, let's praise God, give thanks. And it's a reminder for all of us what our responsibilities are as a people of God. If you're not part of the God's family, God is calling you. God is always calling you. His door is wide open. And he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that whoever, just underline the word, whoever, it is open for anybody to come to him. You have to say yes, though. He's not going to force you to say yes. And you can accept that and become a part of the family of God. But we have the responsibilities, though, as we become part of the family. And so today, as we close, you know, the essence is not my will, God. And that is the real turning point in our life. Have I surrendered my will to God's will? And it is really reflected in Lord's Prayer. And as we close today, we are going to say Lord's Prayer together. And some of you may have the Lord's Prayer with the King James Version, or some of you may have it memorized in a simple language. But, you know, before we sing, come on up. Before we sing and close this time in prayer, I just want to pray, and then we will say the Lord's Prayer. Let's stand up as we do this. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we just come before you, O God, this morning. And as we reflected upon your word today, we just want to surrender ourselves, O God. Not only one time, but every moment, every time in our lives, that we keep surrendering. We just keep allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life in a sense that it helps us to completely surrender our will to your will, O God. Because in our humanity, it is not possible. We need your help. And the Holy Spirit helps us, O Father God. So help us to focus and really understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our life in a real sense. That it'll help us to surrender our will to your will. So have your way, O God, in our life. Help us to enjoy that time of belonging to the family of God, God's people. And have your way in our life, O Father. Thank you, Jesus. And as we close today and as we sing this song, before we sing this song, we want to say the Lord's Prayer. And we want to really focus on my will and your will. Your will be done in our life. So every time we say this prayer, O Father God, different aspects of this prayer, help us to really understand what you have asked us to do, to surrender our will. Not my will, but your will be done, O Father. So let's pray Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, sins, as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to sing Holy Forever. Thank you. this week.